From Radio Sausalito in beautiful Sausalito, California, I'm Mitchell Field, and you are on the field trip. Welcome to The Field Trip, a few minutes of conversation each week with some of the most interesting people in the Bay Area. I talk to artists and writers, actors, directors, musicians, some of the characters who make the Bay Area a fun and a fabulous place to live. So let's get right to it. Today's show is the second part of my interview with Noah Griffin. Griffin, a Harvard-educated lawyer, spent 35 years in government, politics, media, and journalism. For 5 years, he wrote for the Hearst Examiner, and he currently writes for the Marin IJ. He spent 5 years as a popular talk show host on KGO Radio in San Francisco and as the public affairs director at KSFO Radio. He was an on-air disc jockey at the old K-Fog in San Francisco, and he produced and hosted weekly interview shows on K101 and KFRC. Griffin is the founder of the Cole Porter Society, the aim of which is to ensure that the musical literacy and cultural heritage of one of America's foremost composers and lyricists is passed on to this and to future generations. Let's hear more from Noah Griffin about the Cole Porter Society and Cole Porter's music. Well, I understand it's your intention to bring this music to schools, right?
Absolutely. Have various talent shows and contests in schools so the kids will learn. I tell you what I did. They're beyond the age now, and they know what I did. When my boys were younger, and I was memorizing a poem, and my children, I have a daughter as well, I would have them test me on the poem. Whenever I made a mistake, I'd have to start at the beginning. Well, they were learning the poem as well. So if you have these, introduce Cole Porter at the schools and have the contests and give scholarships, if it's only one person in the class who's doing a Cole Porter song and he or she or sings it before the class and the class gets familiar with it, they're aware of it. At my daughter's school, they did Anything Goes, which we talked about a little earlier in the program. And everybody in the school had to be involved in some aspect of the musical, whether they were doing the scenery, whether they were doing the makeup, the tech aspect of it, their actors in it, prompters. They were learning the entire musical, and they were at least exposed to Cole Porter and his genre of music. I heard from somebody the other day that her nephew had a party, and the music that he wanted was all classical music. And she asked, well, how were you introduced to it? On the video game. He had a video game. And whenever he played this video game, there was Mozart, there was Beethoven. I have an idea of, see if I can get him the rights from the Cole Porter estate to use a video game with Cole Porter in the background. So it's another way of introducing the kids to the genre and the genius of Cole Porter and the music that he represented.
That's a great idea. You know, I grew up in England in the days before they had pop music on the radio. There was just the BBC. And
okay.
They played mostly what you call standards. And I didn't know at the time, but I grew up and knowing all of those songs. And I know the words and the tunes of most of Cole Porter's material by osmosis, really.
How wonderful. Well, and that's a time when your mind is fresh, the words are more vivid to you, and they just seem to seep right into your soul. We had something, I don't know if you had it over in Great Britain, but we had it here called the Hit Parade. For a quarter in the 50s, you could buy a magazine, and the words of all your popular songs, the top 40 songs, were in them. So you could kind of concentrate on them. And also, they played them over and over and over again, which was good and bad. My father said, he was born in 1896 in the 30s, he said, no, a song would stay popular for a year because you buy the sheet music, and everybody was sit around the piano or stand around the piano and sing the song.
Yeah.
Those were what you would do. He said they wouldn't wear the song out like they do on the radio today.
Right.
But probably they wore it out a little bit more in the 50s and 60s than they did in his era. But I still remember them. And that was great that the BBC did that. I got a chance to sing on the BBC one time. I was given an all-expenses-paid fellowship to Great Britain by your government. And they put me on the BBC, and it was right near Berkeley Square, so I got a chance to sing a few lines from the wonderful song A Nightingale Sang in Berkeley Square.
Lovely song.
So it's one of the best.
Listen, tell me a bit about the Ballad of the Golden Gate Bridge.
Well, I tell you, it was the 60th anniversary of the Golden Gate Bridge, and I was at a luncheon that they held at the San Francisco Convention and Visitors Bureau, and Charles Osgood was the featured speaker, and he said they asked if there is a song for the Golden Gate Bridge, and he took out his banjo and apocryphally played the Golden Gate Bridge, dun-dun-dun-dun, to the tune of the Blue Danube over and over and over again. And as I was leaving, one of the bridge directors said to me, you know, you're a singer and songwriter. Why don't you write a song for the bridge? Well, I got busy with the best songwriter that I knew, and I did the lyrics, and we wrote this song, recorded, invested quite a sum of money in it, and they were all set to name it the official ballad song of the Golden Gate Bridge until a reporter got a hold of it, and he put it in the paper. Well, everybody and his mother came forward. Well, wait a minute, you didn't give us a chance to. Oh, my mother wrote a song years ago, et cetera. So they halted the entire process and said, I'll tell you what, we'll just give everybody a certificate who's written a song and we'll end it at that. Well, that didn't seem quite fair to me insofar as we put all the time and effort into it. So we lobbied, and I had worked in politics at some point, and I did all the political pressuring that I could, and eventually we got the song named as the official ballad of the Golden Gate Bridge. Another woman whose mother had written a song way back when the bridge opened in the 30s has the title of the official song, but we have the official ballad. Just like most people don't know, I Left My Heart is actually the official ballad of San Francisco. The official song is San Francisco, Open Your Golden Gate, because maybe 20 or so years after it had been proclaimed the official song of San Francisco, Quentin Kopp and Warren Hinkle decided that they wanted to go back to San Francisco, Open Your Golden Gate. And so with Solomonic justice, they split the baby and had one the official song and the other the official ballad. So ours is the official ballad, and we're very proud of that. And it certainly won some recognition, but not quite the acclaim of I Left My Heart, but who knows? I Left My Heart was written 10 years before it became very, very popular. So we may still have life in the song yet.
Well, well done on that. Listen, Noah, before we get through, is there a favorite short poem you'd care to let us hear?
Oh, there's one that I love that's by Kenny Cullen. I doubt not God is good, well-meaning, kind, and did he stoop to quibble, could tell why the little buried mole continues blind, why flesh that mirrors him must someday die. Make plain the reason tortured Tantalus is baited by the fickle fruit. Declare it merely brute caprice, doomed Sisyphus to struggle up a never-ending stair. Inscrutable are his ways, and immune to catechism from a mind too strewn with daily care to even slightly understand what awful brain compels his awful hand. Yet do I marvel at this curious thing, to make a poet black and bid him sing. Written by the great County Cullen at the height of the Harlem Renaissance in the 20s.
That was wonderful. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
For more information on Noah Griffin, you can go to noahgriffin.com. And Noah, continued success to you. Thanks for taking us on a field trip today. It's been delightful.
Thank you so much, Mitchell. I appreciate it.
That's Noah Griffin, everyone. Hey, that was great. Thank you.
That's, of all the interviews I've ever done in my life, that was without a doubt the best.
My goodness. You say that to all the girls, I know.
I don't. I've never said that. It was delightful, delicious, and lovely.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Cheers, man. That's Noah Griffin, everyone. Well, thanks for joining me on the field trip today. I welcome your views and comments on the show, as well as your suggestions for future guests. My email address is mitchellfield@radiosausalito.org. The theme music you hear behind me is the tune Superjet, with the fabulous Marin sax man Noel Jukes up front. It's from the recording The Noel Jukes Quartet featuring Matt Clark. Please remember that the field trip can be heard Wednesdays at the top of every hour at 1610 on your AM radio dial in Southern Marin, countywide on Wednesdays at noon on cable channel 26, anytime on your computer at radiosausalito.org, and 24 hours a day as a free podcast from the iTunes Store. If you liked today's show, please tell your friends, and if you didn't, well, please tell your enemies. So till next time, this is Mitchell Field saying goodbye, good luck, and see you next week.